just lead us in prayer briefly once again. Lord, may the words of my lips and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable now in your sight, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Do you think that you are a good person? Do you think you're a good person? So often when someone's having a bit of a soul-searching moment or if someone's asked to reflect on their lives, they'll say something like, well, I like to think I'm a good person. Because we want to be good people. And we tend to look up to good people. People we think are good, whether it's Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King or Edmund Hillary or John Kerwin, or maybe someone who's not famous, but we know them and we try to model ourselves on them in some way. Ryan spoke about someone like that, didn't he, that affected his life as he went day by day working with them. We model ourselves on them because we think they're a good person. We want to be good people. But the question is, what is a good person? There are lots of different ideas around about what it means to be a good person, what a good person would be like. And even beyond that, many of us in our heart of hearts, somewhere in a corner of them, feel bad about not being good enough. Deep down, if we're really honest, we know we haven't lived up even to our own ideas of what we think it means to be a good person. So, do you think you're a good person? Well, in this parable Jesus told, which is at the heart of the part of the Bible we just heard from Luke's Gospel, Jesus, who by just about anyone's estimation would be one of the greatest good people in history, well, he reinforces the idea about the importance of being good people in a subtle way. We'll see in a minute. But what he says has a real twist, even a shocking twist, that challenges our assumptions about good people. We've been looking at Luke's Gospel here on Sunday morning a lot this year, and this is a biography of Jesus, Luke's Gospel. It's a story of his life, which was sourced from people who saw Jesus and knew him. And there's a lot in the passage we heard, a lot, but we're going to focus in on the parable he told, the story he told of the seed and these different kinds of soil. He told it, as we heard in verse 1, after he'd been traveling around different towns in Galilee. And that's in the area that Jesus grew up in. If you went from New Zealand, you'd go across and into the area that's modern-day Israel. And from there, you would end up in the northern part of that, which is where Galilee was. Jesus had been traveling around that area, and people from the towns that he visited started to follow him. So we see in verse 4, there's a large crowd gathering. People from all over that area coming and hearing him. And it's to them that Jesus speaks this story, this parable, which is given for us in verses 5 to 8 in the passage. And Jesus paints a picture of a farmer who sows his seed in a field, scatters it around. Because I'm a minister in North Canterbury, I should know something about that, but I have no idea. I worked on a farm once, and most of the jobs I did had to be redone by somebody else. But this seed falls in four different kinds of soil. And the first lot of seed falls on the hard path. It can't get into the soil. The birds come and snap it up. The second lot of seed falls on rocky ground with shallow soil. And it grows, but there's no moisture, and the plants wither and die. The third lot falls in with thorns, and the thorns grow with the plants, and the plants wither and die. And then the last lot of seed falls on good soil, good rich soil, and it takes root, and it grows, and it produces a crop 100 times what is sown. Now, that kind of crop in the good soil is not your usual veggie garden effort. It's a bumper crop, a huge crop, enough kai for everybody. So here's these four different outcomes for the seed. And the key thing is what kind of soil the seed lands on. What the soil is like makes the difference for how the seed grows, whether it produces a crop or not. And really, only that last one, the good soil, is the soil you really want. But this isn't just a story about soil. Jesus isn't here telling us his key tips for gardening or farming, not teaching us how to grow some of those giant crops that you see. Sorry to any giant pumpkin enthusiasts who are here this morning, but there won't be any special tips. Jesus is telling the story in order to make a particular point. And the point starts to come through at the end of verse 8, straight after he's told the story. This is what it said. When Jesus had said this, when he told the story, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Ears and hearing. This story is to do with hearing. In fact, as we'll see, it's about having a heart to hear. Having a heart to hear. See, in verse 9, the disciples asked him to explain. They'd heard the story, but they want to know more. They want to understand more. And Jesus' response to them, from verse 10, seems a little strange at first, where he says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables," and goes on. What he goes on to do is to quote from the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, which is another part of the Bible that's hundreds of years older than Luke's gospel. And I'm just cutting to the chase here because we don't have time to go into it in depth. But by quoting this book of Isaiah, he's bringing a situation to mind. The book of Isaiah tells about a pretty hard situation. Isaiah the prophet was told to take God's message to people, but the people wouldn't listen to it because of their hard hearts. They didn't have the heart to hear the message of God. They had hard hearts, so they wouldn't listen to God's message. The message went into their ears, but they wouldn't really hear it. They wouldn't listen to it. So Jesus is calling that situation to mind with this quote. This picture of hard hearts, not really hearing, even though the sound goes into their ears. And there's a warning here as Jesus does that. A warning not to let our hearts be like that. But there's another side as well that comes through. A positive side. If that warning is like the dark side, there's a light side. And it's further down in the passage, after the parable. Immediately after the parable, Jesus paints another little word picture in verses 16 and 17. He talks about that lamp. He says, you light a lamp not to cover it up. No, you light a lamp so that its light can shine out. Well, it's the same thing with Jesus and his teaching. His teaching might seem hard to understand, almost as if it's covered up at first. And our hearts, of course, are in danger of being hard to it, so we might cover it up in a sense with our own hearts. But Jesus told these things so they would be heard and understood. He wants us to see the light. That's why he told them. He didn't tell us things so they would remain hidden, but so then they would shine out and we'd see. But then again, he goes back to a warning in verse 18 at the end. He says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. And in the context of all this talk about hearing and listening, what he's saying here is if you don't come wanting to hear, even what you have will be taken. You won't end up with anything when it comes to understanding Jesus, when it comes to what Jesus can do for you. But if you do want to hear, if you honestly really want to, then you will hear and you will understand abundantly, overflowingly, and you will see what he can do for you. It's a bit like that saying, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Well, it works a bit like that with Jesus' words. If you listen to Jesus' words honestly, like you're actually aiming at understanding them, if you actually want to hear what he says, if you want to understand him, if you want to know who he is, then you will. He'll help you do that. But if you listen in a sort of dismissive way, not really wanting to hear, cynical, not really wanting to take him seriously, then you're aiming at nothing when it comes to understanding Jesus, and you'll hit nothing. You'll miss who he is, and you'll miss the wonders that he can do for you. It's absolutely vital that we consider carefully how we listen, that we watch how we hear when it comes to Jesus, that we have a heart to hear. And that's exactly what we see when Jesus explains the parable of the soils here. Remember, the disciples had asked to understand more. They wanted to hear more. They were aiming to understand Jesus. They want to see the light. They want to build on what they have, and so Jesus gives them more. He turns on the lights. He explains it to them. And the parable itself is all about how you hear. He says each of the four kinds of soil represent different ways that people hear. Four kinds of hearers. What sort of heart we have as we hear the message of Jesus is represented here. And what makes each person different is how they hear. And by telling this story, Jesus is asking his hearers, and Jesus through Luke today is asking us, asking you, which kind of soil are you? Which kind of heart do you have towards the message of Jesus? See, the seed represents the word of God. Jesus says in verse 11, it's the word of God, the message of God, the message Jesus brings. The message that Ryan has heard. The message that you're hearing this morning and that you've heard sort of declared as we went through the baptism as well. And the first lot of soil in verse 12 represents those who hear, but their hearts are like a path, hard, impenetrable by the seed. The message of Jesus bounces off and doesn't dig in. And that means, Jesus says, the devil can take away the word from your heart before it has a chance to take root. Now, I don't know what you think about the idea of the devil or the forces of darkness. Please don't think of a little guy in a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork that you can laugh at. It's much more serious than that. Whatever you think, Jesus says that in some mysterious way, the devil works against people receiving the word of God. And if you have a hard heart to the message of Jesus, if you're cynical towards it, or you dismiss it without really taking it seriously, or you think, oh, I've heard that before, I grew up hearing that, but I already know, but you never really actually listen. If your heart is like that, hard to the message, it makes the devil's job very easy, because the seed just kind of bounces off you. You can take it away. So these first seed people, they hear the message, but they don't really hear it. They don't listen. They don't take it on board. Maybe they just don't care about it. Maybe it seemed irrelevant. But whatever the case, they hear, but they don't really hear. Now, I think Ryan, well, we've heard Ryan really say that he was like that at many points in his life, which is good news, because it shows that even if that's you now, it doesn't have to stay that way. It can change. That's the first lot of seed. The second lot of seed, verse 13, falls on rocky ground. And this represents people who receive the word, the message of Jesus, with a big burst of joy, but then the novelty wears off and things get tough. And maybe they go through some difficulty in life, or maybe they run into questions about the Christian faith, they get tested, and they just give up. These people with the second soil type of hearts, they hear, but they don't hold on. They don't hold on. In the end, they don't hear deeply enough. Well, the third lot of seed, verse 14, is choked by the thorns. And this represents people who hear, but as they go through life, things sort of choke out God's word, the worries of life. Maybe it's relationships or busyness, or maybe in our context it's fears about health or jobs or well-being. Understandable fears, understandable worries, understandable things to get busy with. But these things take over and squeeze out Jesus. They distract you and leave you with no time for listening to him. Or social pressures, another worry of life, one that Ryan mentioned as well. What will my friends or my family think if I start going to church? Will they think I'm going all religious? Will my work colleagues think I'm going a bit soft in the head? And those kind of pressures can be very strong. They are worries of life. And they can choke out the message of Jesus like thorns, if you let them. Going after riches and pleasures can do the same thing. It's one of the other things he says can choke it out. Leaving you with no time to hear or explore the message of Jesus. How often have people said, I'll think about the big questions of life one day, but first I just want to have some fun. I just want to get on with things. Or I just want to make something of myself. I need to focus on my career. I haven't got time to do that. And what if Jesus might get in the way of my pleasures or my work? I better not listen too carefully. And then Jesus gets choked out. And we don't hear him. This third group of people, then they get distracted from Jesus' message, pulled away, like the seed being choked out by the thorns. And that brings us to the last lot of seed, the last lot of soil. Verse 15, this seed falls on good soil, which represents those who hear the message and hold on to it and produce a crop. These people hear and they hold on. They don't just get excited for a while and then get bored with Jesus. They don't get too distracted with the cares of pleasures and riches. They don't let themselves get turned cynical by anything, including the failures they've seen in the church or by religious people who do stupid things. I know there are plenty of people, Christian people, who do stupid things. I do stupid things myself too often. Thankfully, it's not me or them you have to put your faith in. It's Jesus you need to listen to. See, the good soil people don't get distracted by any of that stuff. They don't get pulled away from it. They don't get taken away from the word by those things. The people this soil represents hear Jesus' message and they stick it out. They keep listening to him, to the message of Jesus. And in the end, that's what Ryan has become. He's been through different stages, but he's become good soil. He's heard and held on to Jesus' message. It's been wonderful to see. Ryan, the challenge to you this morning, brother, is to keep being that soil. Keep being that good soil. Keep listening to Jesus with a humble heart. Notice the way Jesus speaks here of these good soil people in verse 15. Now, there's something to notice in here that's interesting. He says they have a noble and good heart. Now, I suspect that sounds pretty good to us. We'd like to think we have noble and good hearts. But to the first readers of this gospel, the people who it was originally written for in the first century, that little phrase would have rung all kinds of bells, would have jumped out. It was a culturally common phrase that meant something like the ideal citizen, the kind of person that everybody wanted to be. Jesus is saying then that a really good person is one who hears the word of God and holds on. We all want to be a good person, but Jesus is saying something radical and challenging at this point. If you want to be that kind of ideal person according to Jesus, what you need to do is hear his word the right way. You need to come to him with an honest, open heart, ready to hear him. And you need to keep on hearing. Now that is a big call. It doesn't mean, of course, that doing good things doesn't matter. Doing good things does matter. God's concerned about good deeds being done. And in fact, historians are coming to see more and more that the Christian message has led directly to many of the greatest good deeds in history. It led to the abolition of slavery. It led to the creation of hospitals and all those things. That's often the case. But I do know, as well, Christians have done terrible things too. And sometimes, shamefully, Christians have done terrible things in the name of God. That matters too. And none of this is saying that doesn't matter. It does matter. It's not okay. It does matter to God. But what Jesus is saying here is something radical. That the first thing about being a good person, according to him, is how you hear him. The heart you have towards his words. Really hearing Jesus, his message, is the key thing to being the kind of person we're supposed to be. Now, some people really react strongly to that kind of idea. I have a mate who once wrote to me that God should judge him for his good deeds rather than for not joining the club. And I understand that feeling. You know, Christianity can seem like a club. Following Jesus can seem like a club. But actually, how we respond to Jesus is a huge issue, much bigger than joining a club or not. Because Jesus claimed to be the one that God sent to save us. In fact, he claimed to be God's son, sent to die for us, to deal with our rebellion against God and the rubbish we've done for each other. No matter what we've done, Jesus claimed that he came to deal with it. And he claimed that he would rise again to conquer death and bring us hope for eternal life. Now, if his claims were true, then rejecting his word is very serious. It's an offense to God. It's a moral issue. And it's not something God can take lightly. I mean, if you treat my children with disrespect, I'll have an issue with you. How much more if we treat God's son who has come to save us with disrespect or with apathy. God's going to have an issue with that. Now, of course, all of that assumes that Jesus is who he said he was. And the only way to really test that claim is to keep honestly listening to his message. To hear his message and keep listening to it with an open heart. Just like the good soil. So if you want to be soil number four, as I hope you do, then the first thing to do is to keep listening to Jesus' word. To keep exploring Jesus and the claims he makes. And let me be clear about one thing that might not have been clear. Anyone can do this. It doesn't matter what your background is, what your history is, what your current situation is. There's an idea that some people, I've heard a number of people have said to me, oh, I couldn't come into the church, the building had fallen down. because, you know, I've been so bad, or I'm so not like that Christian, or you're so different to me, or whatever it is. No, what Jesus is talking about is not about that. No matter what our background, what our history, no matter if we've gone to church all our lives or never in our lives, no matter what we've done, you can be good soil if you're open to hearing the message of Jesus. This is a message for anyone. Look, if Jesus came to save me, then believe me, he can save you. This is a message for everyone. And so, if you want to be this good soil, no matter what your background, no matter where you are, what you need to do is keep listening to his word openly. A good way to do that is to keep coming along here on Sundays, because we're going to keep opening Jesus' word. Another thing, you can talk to someone here about it more. I'd love to talk to you about it more if you'd like to. Another possibility is that can go along with that is those Gospels I mentioned before. These biographies of Jesus, in fact, they're copies of Luke's Gospel, this very biography of Jesus we've looked at this morning, where Jesus shares his message, where you get to see about him and hear his word and understand him. You're welcome to take one with you. They're there to be taken. Please do. If you're not the reading type, if you really don't enjoy reading, then chat to me. I'll hook you up with a place to hear an audiobook of the Bible, free one, so you can listen to Jesus' words in that way. However you do it, listen to him. Listen to his words. Because we want to be good soil. It is good to be good soil. I think Ryan's testified to that this morning, and the joy we've shared together has shown that. And at one level, it's very simple. The first thing we need to do is just keep hearing Jesus' message and really listening to him. Let me pray that we all will.